Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dines with Dara on the Joyce Lot podcast, brought to you by irishsportsdaily.com. I am Greg Famong, and that is Dara Mabry. Dara, how are you doing?
We're doing great. It's been such a great morning.
We're glowing. we're glowing this morning. Notre Dame into the Sweet 16. That's fantastic. I needed to take care of business at home, and they were able to do that. The opening round game was kind of a formality, right? I don't think anyone had a ton of concerns about that one. Notre Dame jumped out early and put that one away very, very soon. And that's what you want to do in the opening round game. Got some rest for some of the key players, especially Maddie Westbelt. Only played 29 of the 40 minutes. She's been going pretty much the distance for a lot of the last few games that Notre Dame has played. They were able to get her some rest into the second round game against Ole Miss. And I think we've talked about a lot, you know, how the women's game has kind of grown. And it used to be when I was in college myself, the first kind of two or three rounds for the top seeds were really formalities. That is no longer the case. You're playing a really good Ole Miss team on the broadcast. They said they were basically two evenly matched teams in terms of stats and, quality of wins and things of that nature on their schedule. And so that was going to be a tough matchup. Notre Dame comes out, jumps on them early, gets up, gets the crowd involved, ends up winning the game 71-56. Never got under 10 points in the second half. So they were in control throughout. Dara, you were able to be inside the arena for this. Tell us about the atmosphere. Tell us about the vibe. Everyone's wearing green. It was a festive day in South Bend in Purcell Pavilion. Tell us what the vibe was like.
I absolutely love the support, but you guys made it really hard for me to find a parking spot, which I wasn't happy about. But just because of like the luck of the Irish in March, I made it out of there parked illegally without a ticket. So it was just a great day in terms of that. Inside the arena, the crowd was absolutely amazing. They were loud from start to finish. They were loud at the perfect times. Like, they're so engaged in the game that like when Ole Miss went on their little run, like they knew exactly when everyone to stand up, when everyone to start clapping, when to calm down, when the women, not the ladies, not the girls, the women needed it. So great crowd from start to finish. And it was really nice to see everybody. Everyone has different favorite players. I saw a lot of Maddie Westbelt jerseys, but I saw a Sarah Sernugel jersey, which made me so happy. This little girl had on a Sarah jersey, and Sarah got to go in the game. And I think that's when the crowd was the loudest. It was like the standing ovation, the congratulations, Sarah went in the game. The vibes were just absolutely immaculate, and they deserve it. The team has went through a lot of adversity this year. There's a lot of players at the end of the bench that need that love and support from not only the fans, just the community itself. Like, we had a local pastor in the building, local hairdressers and doctors and everyone from top to bottom, a big student section. We don't have that quite often. That was more of a men's basketball thing. But now we're starting to get a student section, which they absolutely deserve. And the Notre Dame community like really put on a show.
Yes. And the ladies are on fire right now. 10 in a row, coming off ACC tournament championship, on to the Sweet 16 against Oregon State in Albany, New York. And that's going to take place on Friday at 2:30 Eastern time. You mentioned Sarah Sernugel just a second ago. There's been a couple of occasions where she gets in the game, and it's kind of one of those things, like, The word is kind of journeyman, I guess, but I don't know if that's the proper term for a women's basketball player, but you kind of know what I'm getting at there. Tell us a little bit about Sarah. I know you know who she is. Give a little bit more background to the audience here. Not a lot of play on this podcast. Let's give her some flowers.
Yeah. Sarah was a walk-on, and then she earned a scholarship for her last year, which is something so special, obviously. She's just, you know, the epitome of a great teammate. She listens, she does everything that she's told. And as a walk-on, you do everything else that the rest of the team does. You work just as hard, but you don't get as many minutes as everybody else. And she embraced her role. She knew exactly what to do for the team, how to make us better. She's one of us. She was my teammate. She's great. But even I would say outside of being a better player and a teammate, she's an even better person. She comes from a really nice family. Her parents are great people. So are her siblings. And I can't say enough good things about Sarah. I loved playing with her. And when she would come in the game, like I would always beg Niel to leave me in because I wanted to stay and end the game with Sarah.
Give her an assist, hit a three, yeah. You know, something like that, something to get on the scoreboard. That's very cool. I think her mom is a follower of this show and or my Twitter feed. So she see her name pop up every now and then. So we appreciate that support there. And look, it's awesome, right? Walk on, get a scholarship for your last year. She gets in an NCAA tournament game. She is in the score sheet. I'm looking at her right here. So that's a very cool thing to have happen for her. Okay. So let's talk about the game itself, right? Like, what were you worried about going in? And then how was Notre Dame able to just totally stifle Ole Miss from what they wanted to do right from the jump, right? First quarter, Ole Miss 4-for-17 shooting. Just they could not figure out Notre Dame. They started very cold. Notre Dame 6-12 and was 6-7 from the free throw line. So they jumped out to a big lead in the first quarter. What was Notre Dame able to do there to just kind of stifle them and get them on the back foot right away?
They rebounded. They rebounded and ran. That was one of the focuses of the scout was you have to rebound against them because they're really big top to bottom. They're tall, they're athletic, they're strong. They're guards especially too. And number 24 is really good in that high post area. She has a really high elevated jump shot that can be hard to contest at times. But you had to rebound, you know, like they shoot the ball and then they go crash. A lot of chasing. And, you know, Sonia, especially over early on, rebounded the heck out of the ball. She battled down there. She always boxed out. I know KK's effort was definitely there. She got called for two cheap box out fouls, which just were so unfortunate. But she was battling her butt off down there. And Maddie, too. I don't have the rebounding log in front of me, but that's a big, big part of the win was rebounding. We had to rebound in order to win because if we didn't get those rebounds, then it doesn't lead to transition points for us, which is our bread and butter, and it allows Ole Miss to get second opportunities, which they easily would have converted if they got those offensive rebounds. So rebounding was my X factor.
Right. So Ole Miss ended up out-rebounding Notre Dame for the game, but I think a lot of that came in the kind of the final, especially the second half, where, you know, things got a little bit choppy for Notre Dame in the second half. We could talk about that in a second. So, but I know in the first half, Notre Dame was doing very well there. Second chance points to the point you just made. 6 second chance points for Notre Dame, 4 for Mississippi's or Ole Miss. So the fact that they were able to get some offensive rebounds, but they weren't able to convert those opportunities into points to what you were saying. It's like it made a big deal in the game. You mentioned Sony, 10 rebounds in the game, 17 and 10 for her. So she was great on the glass. And that's her thing, right? Like that's what makes her so valuable to this team is that she is a guard who rebounds like a big, you know, and it's such a good help for them. And not just that, but when she gets the rebound and she can push, throw the outlet pass that we saw a couple of times, she got a rebound, threw it out to Hannah. Hannah threw it into Nat, out to Anna DeWolf for a three.
Best play of the game.
Right. So that got everything going and got everyone going. So that's a good job by her. You know, into kind of the individual players for the game. Hannah obviously is doing a ton. This may be biased or whatever. It's fine. I thought the best player for Notre Dame offensively was Maddie. Her offensive repertoire is just fantastic. And that's why, like, she can catch and shoot. She can put the ball on the ground once and shoot. She can put the ball on the ground and pull up. Right. She can put the ball on the ground and drive to the basket. She can post up inside. Right. She can take a little turnaround jumper in the key. She did another one where she drives. She gets the ball at the free throw line, drives, pulls up on just outside the key there, hits a jumper there. I mean, the amount of ways that she can score and when she is feeling it, very difficult to guard, and it makes it very difficult to guard Notre Dame because of the things that Hannah and Sonia can do. What did you see from Maddie in this game? Do you agree with me? Like, do you feel like, you know, someone else did something, you know, a little bit better, be it Sony or Hannah?
100%. I would go with Anna DeWolf as my player of the game. But talking about Maddie, I mean, I see her work on those shots all the time. It's just muscle memory at this point. She has such good awareness of the defense and great body control for her size that she's able to turn around and score sometimes without even taking a dribble. She's really impressive. And it's more impressive because she works on it. You know, I'm around her all the time. So I see her working on these moves before practice, after practice. And she's just become such a great leader for this team, which is a really nice thing to see. And her offensive game is just so pretty and graceful. She has her turnaround. She has her 1-2 step into a jump shot, and she can, the pick and pop is really hard to guard with her and Hannah when Maddie's setting it and then popping it and hitting threes. It's really hard to guard. She just does so much for the team in the stat sheet and not on the stat sheet because you have to draw so much attention to her.
Talk about Anna. You thought she was your player of the game, or at least offensively.
She was.
That's great.
She just played with a confidence that I didn't see in the beginning of the year. She wants the ball now. She's calling for the ball. You know, I sat behind the bench for the game, and I saw her come out of a timeout, and she was like, I forget who she said it to, maybe like addressing as a whole. She was like, "We got a drive and kick," and the next play they drove and kick and hit her for a three, and she was standing there ready for it. And it was just such a nice thing to see the accountability, the leadership, and then being rewarded for it. So she was my player of the game. Maybe I was able to see some things just because I was right behind the bench. But I mean, absolutely great. She was leading. She was talking the entire time. And she made a really good play at the end where she tipped the ball and was able to get it to Hannah. And she actually like stuck her tongue out at the crowd, and the crowd went absolutely insane. It was just such a good play. And she brought so much energy and life to the arena. And that's why she was my player of the game.
Yeah. So the play you're referencing, the ball was getting kind of slapped around a little bit, and Sony gets the ball and she kind of throws it up to Anna, and the ball was a little bit towards the middle of the court. And so Anna and a Ole Miss defender were kind of meet at it.
Yeah.
Anna just gets over there and just tips it forward right to Hannah for an easy layup. And like you said, stuck the tongue out like she was vibing at that point. She's playing with a ton of confidence. She had another play where she actually drove and finished at the rim, which is like, to your point, like when Anna's doing that, like that's when you know, like, okay, what, she's feeling herself a little bit.
And I
put it on Twitter. I don't know if you can call a play that that pushes the lead to 15, like a big shot. But there was a point in the third quarter where Notre Dame they weren't putting together good possessions. They were getting a little bit sloppy. Ole Miss was starting to press, and it was they weren't getting into their offense, and they had a few empty possessions in a row. And if they had gotten into or I think it was middle fourth quarter, excuse me. If they had gotten to the point where it's like, hey, you cut it down to 8 or 9, things get a little bit tight in the arena, people start to get a little bit antsy. And she gets the ball on the break and she just pulls up from, I don't know, 18 feet, which when she shot it, I thought, I don't know if I like that. Like,
it was like one of those, like, if it doesn't go in, it's a bad shot. Yeah.
Because it's like, it's early in the clock, you had just beaten it. And it's like, it's a long distance shot. So that's not a three. So it's like, the efficiency of a shot like that is just not the best. But she made it. And then Notre Dame ended up making two other baskets. So Ole Miss could have cut the lead to, I think it was 12. Or 11, and instead it started a 6-0 run at the end of the third quarter. Notre Dame ended up going back up 19, in the middle of the fourth quarter, Notre Dame ended up going back up 19, game was over, you know? So I think that was kind of the thing that it's like, she took that shot to your point. Like, it's not a great shot, but it's an indicative of her feeling very good about herself and very confident in that moment, which is what you want in the tournament, right? And I think to your point about how, you know, she's the player of the game. She ends up 4-7, 9 points, which is a really good contribution. Nat ends up with 4 points herself, 2 of 4 shooting. And then KK ends up 1 of 3. She contributes 2 points. That's 15 points from the basically the other three, aside from you know, Maddie, Hannah, and Sonia. That's huge. Like, that's huge. If they could get that in every game, you have to love Notre Dame's chances because of the way that those three are playing, like the big three are playing. They're all playing very well right now. So I think given the fact that like all of her points are almost just they're magnified so much more because the opponent like just can't, they can't have that, right? You because you expend so much energy on the big three. So I thought those were like Nat, second shot of the game, right? She gets the ball, turns and pulls it up. What is Nat doing to kind of mitigate the loss of Kylie right now? What has she been doing in these mm-hmm. games?
I think the best way to describe her is she's just solid. She mm-hmm. doesn't have a role where she has to score 15 points or have 11 rebounds every single game. But she does exactly what she's supposed to for the team. She plays her role and plays it really, really well. She comes in and has, like, aside of that, not scoring 15 points doesn't make her job any easier. She has to battle down there with the post players, which is by no means easy. And she has to box out and rebound. And she has to make good passes into the post. And she has to hit her mid-range jump shot, which she's been doing so gracefully. And she's just been solid. I remember I saw one play. It was the Kent State game. It was like a awkward possession. We didn't get what we wanted. And Hannah was about to drive full speed down the lane. And Nat was like, no, pull it out. Mm. Hannah pulls it out, rewards Nat, and Nat scores. And it was just like, you wouldn't have seen that from her last year or the years before. And those are like the little things that you don't see that Nat does. She knows the system really well. She's been under Niel longer than a lot of people on the team have. Mm-hmm. And she's just solid. She knows what to do. She plays hard. And that pass that she made yesterday, we joked about it. It very farewell could have been a charge, but I think that was the best play of the game.
That'd be a baby call and unbecoming of the sport and like what competition means. That should never be a charge, ever. Don't just stand. Why would you ever just be like, you know, I'm just going to stand here and give up my whole body and let someone? That's not how you defend. I'm sorry, she passed it. No, it was the correct non-call. Please continue.
Yeah. No, enough said.
I don't like the charge call. I know. So the one thing though that we're monitoring all the time is the foul situation. Nat ended up with 4 in this game. She ended the game on mm-hmm. 4. Maddie ended the game on 4. KK in limited minutes ended up on 3. You know, Nat, the bad thing is a lot of these are on rebounds.
Yes.
On the offensive glass too. I can't have that. You know, like you just can't, like KK had one, Nat had one. I know, like she has to stay in the game. Like this was a thing, you know, we talked about it earlier in the year. Like this was a thing where, like you do it as a reserve and it's frustrating, but then Kylie's there and she can, Nat, she's not there anymore. Like Nat, she has to stay on the floor. KK right. has to stay on the floor. If anyone's going to come in and take some fouls, it's Becky. Right, Benma, let her come in. If she wants to foul some people, that's fine. Because, you know, that's her. I mean, she can give them up, right? She's just not going to be out there for that long. So it's not going to be a huge thing. Just don't get the opponent in the bonus. But I think the whole team right now is playing their best basketball. And that's what you want to see, right? Like, that's the whole point of this whole year is to play your best basketball as you get into championship season. And Notre Dame is there now. They've won 10 in a row. I think Sonia's playing as well as she has all year, which is what you want. They noted on the broadcast this was her first game without the knee sleeve. So that's great to see. Hannah's playing well, right? Just leading the team through her energy and her just overall kind of competitive spirit. So that's always going to be there, and Maddie's playing as well as she ever has. So that's good, right? You just want to put your best foot forward, and Notre Dame is doing that right now. We're going to want them to do that against Oregon State, Dara.
Yes.
How do you feel about this? Right, they're the three seed, right? So now we're getting to the point where it's like, hey, we're playing the good teams now. So where are you at, Notre Dame versus Oregon State?
I'm confident with us winning this one. I think
is it a matchup thing? Is it tell me why you feel like that?
So Oregon State, they're big. They're very tall, and they can shoot the hell out of the ball. So our defense has to be fundamentally sound. You can't do stupid stuff against them. You can't screw up, because when you screw, I mean, you're going to make mistakes, but you can't have mental mistakes, because if you have a mental mistake, it's a kick out to a three, offensive rebound, kick out to a three. They can really shoot the ball, and their post players are big. They have a really big inside presence and a good post player. So the defense absolutely has to be there. However, the reason why I think we win the game is because I don't think they can keep up with us at all.
From a running standpoint.
Yeah, as tall as they are and as good of shooters as they are, they're slow. So I think that our transition is going to be what carries us throughout this game.
Notre Dame's zone has been one of the keys to this entire run that they're on.
Right.
How does their zone, how is it able to frustrate teams as much as it has? Because, you know, like Ole Miss comes out of a timeout, Notre Dame's in zone. So Ole Miss calls a timeout. And one of the things with coaches, it's like, we have to drop a good play out of a timeout. We got to get a bucket. Right. Ole Miss had a shot clock violation out of a timeout against Notre Dame's zone. How does that happen? Why is Notre Dame such a good zone team right now?
There's built-in help to the zone, and we defend the high post really well. And a lot of times within good zone offenses, the ball touches the high post. But we discourage the high post really well, because the tandem of the guards at the top is really well, and the presence of the inside pushes the zone up a little bit, which works really well. However, matchup-wise, I don't think that we're going to be able to play nearly as much, maybe if any, zone against Oregon State. Maybe if they have some subs where there's a shooter that is, you know, has a lower percentage than the other shooter, like maybe for a couple of possessions we can go zone. I don't think, though, we'll see a majority of the zone on Friday.
Will that have knock-on effects for kind of the offense? Because now you're playing man, so you know you're going to be chasing a little bit more on defense. Will that have knock-on effects, do you think? I mean, is it something to be concerned about?
No. Well, personally, our zone is really hard. Like, you might, as a guard at the top of the zone and, like, on our wings, you might chase even more in our zone defense than you do in man. Because on some man, like, you can take a break in the man. Like, if you're in help, you can chill for a little bit. But, like, in the zone, you are, like, our movements are constantly back and forth. Right. So, like, the guard goes from the ball to the high post and back and forth and back and forth. And so does the wing. And then the post obviously is battling in there the entire time. Who's the main communicator? Cause they see everything. Our zone is really hard. Like, I know zone is more like, if you told basketball players we're going to play zone today, they'd be like, oh, great. Like, we don't have to play man. Like, when we have to play zone, that's not our mentality. It's like, okay, like, I'm going to be really tired, because you have to go back and forth, especially at the top. So our zone is deceivingly really hard, actually.
Okay. I mean, so yeah. And especially against a team like Oregon State, if they're a bigger team, they're not running a bunch of guards off screens and things of that nature. They want to get the ball inside. So that's going to be another key for, you know, for Nat and Maddie to stay out of foul trouble. If they're going to be pounding the ball inside all the time, you just can't, because there's no one you can actually bring in. Right, you can go to Becky, and that's it. Right, like other than that, like, you just have to be able to play through fouls. And if you're playing soft, then that leads to easy baskets, and that's going to feed into what Oregon State wants to do. let's talk about the rest of the bracket, right? South Carolina looking vulnerable, Dara. Only, what did they win by? 47 points, was it? 88 to 41 in their second round game. So that's tough.
Yes.
That's one of those deals where, look, if South Carolina comes in looking hot, right, and looking just they're hitting and they're clicking, a lesser team, there's just nothing they can do. They're just going to overrun you, right? They're just going to run you off the court, and you got to have horses there. So look, that is what it is, right? Who do they have in the Sweet 16? I forget this.
Us on our side?
No. Yeah, South Carolina. Who does South Carolina have?
Okay, so they have Indiana. We have Oregon State. That's a 1 and a 4. South Carolina and IU. And it's obviously 3 and a 2, as we talked about with them.
Yeah. So it's chalk.
Yeah. So they play right after us, 5 o'clock, or the 2:30 game. They're at 5 o'clock.
Okay. So you know it's a chalk bracket. Yeah. And that's expected, right? So we'll see how that pans out. Obviously, I mean, can IU give South Carolina anything? Can they give them any problems? I mean, we talked about this a little bit.
I think they can hang with them. But do I think they win? No.
I mean, I don't know that you could pick any team to actually beat them. That isn't like, you know, one of the top seeds, right? Like you got to be a top team, I think, to beat them. It's just tough. It's just hard. Like they can win any kind of way that they need to.
I know.
Win. So that's difficult. I mean, obviously for Notre Dame, like you're not thinking about that at all. You're thinking get through the game against Oregon State, and then you know take your chances, right? You take your chances against them. It is interesting that they started the season against South Carolina, so at least they've played them, right? They kind of know what that's all about. The rest of the nation, Iowa, right? Had a nail biter the other day. What is your take on this? Everyone's whining about the free throw disparity. I kind of thought the way that West Virginia was choosing to defend them, I thought they were super physical. I thought they were basically daring the officials to call fouls. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't. But and especially at the end when they're fouling on purpose, right? They're trying to foul to extend the game, that led to more free throws. But I just didn't think that like there was an official thing there. It was just they're playing them tight, right? They're trying to muck up their game, which they did. I thought they did a good job of it.
Yeah,
they just didn't capitalize on offense. But what did you think of Iowa? Did you feel like that was there's something there to the way that West Virginia played them?
Yeah, I know they defended Caitlin Clark as well as they could defend Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Caitlin Clark had the supporting cast that she needed that game. Mm-hmm. They were obviously really physical with her. And her post player was good that game. But, like, you need more than that in March. You need some of those other guards to step up and do other things. Drive. Like, no one's expecting them to do stuff at this point. So, like, drive it to the basket. Go score. Kate Miller's really good. Gabby Marshall's really good. I think that her supporting cast showed less of what they're actually capable of that game.
Mm-hmm. But they got through it, right? So we'll see. There's potentially a rematch against LSU in the docket because LSU advanced, and they're going to play UCLA. So that's a 2-3 matchup.
Yeah.
Should be a really good game. Should be a great game there. So, that's something to keep an eye on. You have USC on the other side of the bracket. I'll tell you what, man, Juju Watkins, she's a good basketball player. Good basketball player. You know what? The size is the thing, right? She is a very big guard, and she has long range too. She has really good range. She's a playmaker too. So she's very, very good basketball player. UConn looks really good right now too. There's a big like UConn Paige Beckers thing going on. Like she's actually the best player in the country. I don't know why that's happening, but
I was pretty pissed to see Hannah left off that list.
The Naismith.
Yeah, I thought that was BS.
For player of the year. For player of the year. Let's talk about it. Why do you think that?
I thought because they left Juju on there, I thought if you look at their bad games, if you look at the level of production, Hannah's level of production is more. The way she affects a game, what she brings to a game, I thought is more on the bad days. Like on the offensive and the defensive end. Like her steals and her defense are always there. Always. So it's like when she's not scoring, what are the other things that they do? And I thought Hannah like easily won that battle. Maybe I'm biased, but you know, I thought that they should have left her on there.
It is hard with the defense, right? Like, I feel like it always gets second fiddle.
Yeah, always.
When it comes to player of the year. It just
always
becomes. But you like
if you boast it the entire year and you acknowledge it the entire year, you have to acknowledge it when it comes down to the final list.
Was it weird to you that Liz Kitley didn't make it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with her not having a postseason. I don't know.
She's player of the year in the ACC.
I know. But I don't know if I don't know what they consider what goes on in the meeting. I'm the biggest Liz Kitley fan, so yeah, that was a disappointment to me too.
Yeah, I mean, like in like with Paige Beckers, like I feel like these head-to-head things really matter. And Notre Dame beat UConn at UConn, and Hannah went crazy. You know, 34-10. Right. Like she just kind of dominated that game in the fourth quarter. It wasn't like, oh, she had a great, you know, first and second quarter or whatever. Like she in winning time, Hannah took over the game with Maddie. Right. So to me, it just seems like that, like usually that's a factor.
And yeah, it's tough. Wasn't. That is a tough list because I'm a huge Paige fan as well. It's just that one was tough. Like, I don't know. Something didn't feel right about Hannah not being on there.
Yeah. Not great. But you know, like Caitlin's going to win, right? Like
she deserves it.
Right. No, for sure. I'm just saying like, like we're talking about who's going to get third or fourth place in this thing. You know, Caitlin's going to win the thing and that's fine. Like you said, she's a great player and she deserves to, you know, win the award. And things of that nature. So, all right. I think that's a good place to end it, Dara. We've got the game coming up on Friday, 2:30 Eastern time. We're gonna try to figure something out with the pod, Dara. Yeah. So here's the thing, Dara's like you know what? I'm actually gonna go to these games. So like, it's very hard to do live show when the person you do the podcast with is at the game. So. It might just be a day after. That's totally fine. We could do a day after show. And maybe if it's crazy enough, I'll find someone else to do a live show with, and then I can have you on and we can talk about that. So we'll figure something out, but we'll definitely have some content out after the Elite Eight to talk about, or I'm sorry, after the Sweet 16 to talk about everything that happens. So you're going to want to stay tuned. Hit the like, hit subscribe, hit the notification bell so you know whatever it is. We are going live. The links to this podcast are in the description below. We'll talk to everyone soon. Dara, what are we going to do?
Keep getting buckets.